You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last night, David Seymour's end-of-life choice bill was back in Parliament, but not for its third reading. MPs were debating whether to send the bill to a public referendum at the next election, should it enter into force. That's the result of New Zealand First promising they would only support the bill at third reading if a referendum is agreed to. And last night's vote resulted in a very close 63-57 vote, with New Zealand First votes proving crucial to getting that across the line. I spoke to ACT Party leader David Seymour to get his thoughts and started by asking him if the vote went the way he thought it would.
It certainly went the way I hoped it to, but when you're dealing with other people making decisions and Parliament making a vote, you can't have any expectations. You've just got to work for everyone's vote. And try and show people that what you're proposing is the right way to go. Last night they did that again. We've won every vote so far, but the most critical vote of all is always the third reading, and that's coming up on November 13th.
Are you expecting the margin to stay roughly the same as it did last night in that final reading?
Yeah, so there were two votes that I think were important last night. One was the clause adding the referendum condition to the bill. So that passed by 63-57, and then there was a vote that comes after that for part two to stand part, and that's whether the committee agrees that everything that's been done tonight should continue. So that actually passed 66-54, and that's probably a pretty good indication of where the support in Parliament for the bill as a whole is at. But this morning we'll be analysing with spreadsheets the way that different MPs have voted and working out, you know, who may have concerns that we may be able to address just to secure a majority for the third and final reading in Parliament.
In terms of the vote on the referendum, New Zealand First effectively wielded the power yet again. Do you think it's fair that this little minor party effectively get to dictate the way votes like this go when I don't even know if they're overly consistent in what they decide to put to referendum?
Well, let me just say something in defence of New Zealand First, which I don't often do, but in fairness to them, they have for many years promoted direct democracy and referenda on conscience issues. Now, whether or not you agree with that position, that they have been consistent on it. The second thing I'd say is there's a lot of focus on them, but actually this process has involved a lot of dialoguing with a whole lot of groups over a long period of time. So I'll give you an example. Initially, we used the Canadian definition that a person could qualify if they had a grievous and irremediable medical condition. Now, that's come out of Canadian law and case law. I think it was a robust definition. The Green Party said, well, actually, we have a party policy. We can only support this bill if it is for people with a terminal illness. So we made that change. We narrowed the bill in order to secure the Greens part of the coalition. There are a whole lot of people who said, if you introduce this bill, you may indirectly stigmatise people with disabilities. Now, I actually disagree with that analysis. I won't go into it now, but there was a big debate at the time. What we did was we put in a clause that said nobody may access this bill purely by dint of having a disability. And I hope that will really allay some of those concerns that were raised there. So, you know, yes, people focus on New Zealand First and the referendum, and that's certainly the vote that happened last night. But actually, it's been part of a process where, you know, we've dialogued with a whole lot of different stakeholders to get a bill that is workable and that has got broad political support, certainly we hope enough to pass. So some people, of course, will say it's all compromise. Other people would say it's democracy.
Mm. So in terms of the bill that we now have being relatively different in certain parts to what you initially proposed, are you still comfortable with the legislation as it stands after last night's vote?
Yeah, look, I think that New Zealand will emerge with a very good end-of-life choice bill if Parliament decides to pass it and if the people vote for it in the referendum. I would say that it will be a little bit more liberal than some of the American regimes, because the American regimes only allow assisted suicide. They allow doctors to provide you with the means to end your own life, but not for a doctor to actually apply the means to you. So it's a bit more liberal than that. But it's also a lot more conservative than the European models, where you needn't be terminal, you just have to be in a situation you judge to be hopeless. And well, I think that that's too liberal, and I think that that's led to some very difficult situations for them over in Europe. We're probably about where the Canadians and Australians are in terms of the way our bill would work, and that's probably about the right place to be for New Zealand, I would think.
The last time we talked, a lot of what we talked about was misinformation by certain MPs in the House. But now that it might be going to a referendum, how do we counter against misinformation in terms of the public actually going to be listening a lot more intently to the sort of rhetoric being proposed? How do you make sure that the public actually get to have an informed decision?
Look, I think that there will be a fear, uncertainty and doubt campaign from opponents who have certain motives for opposing the bill that they very infrequently are prepared to actually reveal. And I think that's a real shame. To answer your question about how we get good information, look, I'm a huge supporter of free speech. I think that sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I expect to see people, spokespeople in the media, not just me, who will be coming out and debating what the facts are. And I think that the public, you know, sometimes aren't given much credit, certainly haven't been given much credit by MPs last night, saying that if we had a referendum, the public wouldn't be able to work it out. But I actually think that the public, as I often say, have a finely honed BS detector, and I think that the public are going to be just fine working their way through the details of this.
So does the End of Life Choice Bill still become a sort of campaign election issue, even though it's not directly attached to a party, or do you think it can sit separately from a lot of the discussion around voting next year?
Look, I think that these issues are strangely isolated from everyday party politics. And if you look at it, I mean, I use myself as an example. I've been the public face of this campaign for you know, almost 3 years now. This is an issue that 70% of New Zealanders say they agree with. 40%, when asked, given the options, say they actually strongly agree with it. And yet you haven't seen 40% of people voting for the ACT Party. So I think what that tells you is that actually voters have a range of concerns, and they recognise that this is a conscience issue that every party has a mix of views on. So I don't see it you know, being a major factor in the election campaign. I suspect, if you read the global financial news, that there'll be some much more pressing issues on the minds of the average voter next year. But nevertheless, people will still pay some attention to this campaign and vote on their own preferences.
And quickly, just finally, one thing I noticed last night that sort of, I don't know, it stuck out to me was that one National MP wanted to change the name of the bill. I mean, what do you make of issues like that get raised during debate?
Oh, look, I think basically that was a guy, Tim McIndoe, who had said consistently that he was going to vote for a referendum. He told his people and his electorate in Hamilton that he was going to vote for a referendum. And then the pressure came on from some of the opponents who he's close to in Parliament, and he needed a way out. So he ended up confecting this argument that he would only vote for the referendum if the name changed, knowing, of course, that the name was not going to change. And that's his excuse. As Michael Laws said, politicians are the most sincere profession because we fool ourselves first. And I think it's really disappointing from Tim McIndoe. And as I said to him on the floor of the House, just remember Virtus Pollet, which is the motto of King's College, where he went to school, meaning let manliness prevail. But sadly, I don't think that he stayed true to that. But look, that's his call. Had the name changed to be about suicide, I think that would have been really unfortunate, because there are people who are concerned about the connection between assisted dying laws and youth suicide, as everyone should be in New Zealand, given the problem we've got with youth suicide. The evidence, by the way, is clear that legalising assisted dying does not affect youth suicide rates in any of the places where it's been legalised. You know, 150 million people living in jurisdictions with legalised assisted dying for 20 years in some cases. There's no connection. To have put suicide in the name of this bill would have been a major step backwards, so I'm glad that failed.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.